This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, let's start Lake Night here on Newstalk 830 WCCO. Henry Lake with you until 1 o'clock. Fresh off of another win by your Minnesota Twins. 5-0 over the Washington Nationals. Game 2 tomorrow here at Target Field. We think. The tarp is out, okay? They're saying that the storms are going to be coming in a little bit later, and I know it's going to be a lot of rain and stuff tomorrow, so hopefully we get the – I mean, at this point, no one knows the, you know, how it's going to shake out with whether the game is going to get in or not, but you know, be listening to the best place on radio to get news, traffic, and weather together. Newstalk 830 WCCO. So we'll keep you updated here in regards to Twins baseball tomorrow. But we'll get back to the Twins here a little bit later. I did want to get to the good news that the Minnesota Vikings had that came across today in regards to Mackenzie Alexander. Now, the bad news was that, well, there was good news and bad news on Sunday. The good news was that they crushed Atlanta. 28-12. Like, they were more dominant in that game than the score would even indicate. If the Vikings didn't go into prevent and just continue to play, it's probably 28-0. Let's just call it for what it is. Okay, but they, you know, whatever, gave up a few yards and just to, you know, take some time off the clock, and they give up a couple of touchdowns, and, you know, one of them was Julio Jones, who's on my fantasy team, and it didn't matter because I lost anyway. Anyway. That was the good news. They won. The bad news is that Mackenzie Alexander had to leave the game. He got injured, and it was an elbow injury. They say that he dislocated his elbow in the first half. Okay? Not good. The good news, though, out of it is that Mackenzie Alexander doesn't need elbow surgery, so he's going to be able to return sooner than later. He doesn't have to go on the injured reserve list. So that is the good news, and the reason why I say it's such good news is because that is the one area of the team that I think a lot of fans have questions and concerns about in regards to Minnesota Viking football. I said the entire offseason that I feel like Xavier Rhodes is going to have a bounce-back season. Like, he is my Viking guy in having a bounce-back season the same way that I was all about Jake Odorizzi having a bounce-back season for the Twins. Rhodes is my guy in that regard. Rhodes closed. I need that t-shirt. That's two t-shirts I need. I need the Rhodes closed t-shirt. I need the Garve Sauce t-shirt. Those are two t-shirts I need. It's about to be winter here in a couple of months. But Rhodes is going to, I think, bounce back. And we saw how good he was on Sunday. Like, that's the good Xavier Rhodes right there. That's the guy from 2017. Not the guy that was getting beat a lot last year and was injured a lot last year, right? And was in accumulating a lot of penalties. Xavier's always going to have some pass interference penalties, right? Because he's a handsy guy. He's a very physical corner. So that's going to happen. I can live with that. Because he dominates some of the wideouts that he's facing. And he had a great game on Sunday against Julio Jones. All right, so I get that. Trey Waynes is better than what a lot of people want to give him credit for. He's not a flashy cornerback. He's not a guy that's going to rack up a ton of interceptions. And yes, he's prone to get a couple penalties too. But he just goes out there and he does his job. Okay, and he's gotten better in his time with the Vikings. And I think that most Viking fans would acknowledge that. So they've got a couple of good corners, starting corners. But in the National Football League, you need more than just two. You actually need more than three. You need like a group of like four good corners. Unfortunately for the Vikings, Holden Hill was being dumb here in the offseason. And so what does he do? He racks up a couple of infractions, and he's out half the season. So Holden Hill, we'll see him after the 8-game suspension, right? Cool. But who are the other bodies outside of Rhodes and outside of Waynes that are going to stand in and hold it down? Mackenzie Alexander showed some growth last year as a football player, and that was the reason why a lot of people were optimistic about what he was going to provide and bring to the table this year. Unfortunately for Viking fans, he's hurt right now. Okay, so he's going to miss some time. The good news is that that he doesn't need any surgery, and he's not going to be put on injured reserve. But who's going to step up? Like, who's going to be that individual? And we'll see how all of that plays out. But that is an area that I don't want to put too much pressure on the cornerbacks. And the only reason why I say I don't want to put too much pressure on the cornerbacks is because we know that in football, there's a couple of different areas that really affect your secondary. And that's your pass rush, right? Your pass rush. And ultimately, if your pass rush is getting there, then the secondary doesn't have to, they don't have to cover receivers all day. All right? I don't care who the receivers are. If the defensive line and the linebackers are getting to the quarterback, you don't have to cover wideouts for 5 and 6 seconds. And that is the thing that I love about what we saw on Sunday. Matt Ryan, man, I know he didn't feel good about that. When you got Linval in your face, when you got Anthony Barr, who got the first sack of the day, and he was everywhere on Sunday, he's all in your face. When you got Danielle Hunter, all in your face. Everson Griffin, all in your face. That was fun to watch. So I say all of that to say that, yes, the Mackenzie Alexander injury is a loss short term, but I think that they can patch it up and not be affected as much by it if the guys in that linebacking core and on that defensive line, if they just ball out. If they win, they can just then you'll be fine. And it's the Green Bay Packers that we got coming up next. Oh, gosh. I love this. ACT, Chris Tubbs, are you ready for Packer Week? Because we're here, baby.
I love Packer Week. And I love playing Green Bay after Green Bay's feeling good and after we're feeling good. Because I think our feeling good is better than their feeling good. So I want to go in there when we're both feeling good so they'll come out feeling bad and we'll feel better.
Hey, let me ask you this question. So I was talking to a friend of mine earlier,
okay.
And she said that, you know, because, you know, big-time Viking fan.
Yep.
She's a little bit disappointed that we're playing the Packers this early. And her rationale and her reasoning for it, and I think there are a lot of other fans that feel this way maybe, is because she says she wants a little bit more buildup, a little bit more drama. Like, she doesn't like the fact that it's week two. She'd rather it be like, you know, like week five or something. And you know what? I actually don't knock the take. I see what she's saying.
I kind of see what she's saying, but on the flip side, I'd rather go in there early in the season when the weather's nice and you don't have to talk about dealing with the elements and the fact that you're healthy. I mean, the further into the season you get, the more likely, you know, you could have one or two of your key guys missing. So you're going to miss Mackenzie Alexander. You've got Curse. I know that hopefully, I mean, if Mike Hughes is back, to me, that it's pushing Mike Hughes to come back so early. But I want to get them early right now. I want to get them before they figure out their offense with Matt LaFleur. So I want to get them while they're still figuring things out.
What? Are you crowning Matt LaFleur?
No.
Are you crowning before he figures it out?
No, I'm saying. I mean,
don't you dare.
We know that offenses are going to figure it out. We know that Aaron Rodgers is going to put up bigger numbers. And
we're not scared of the Packers, Chris Tubbs.
I'm not saying we're scared. I'm saying I want
to. You acting scared.
Uh-huh?
You acting scared. If you're scared, get a bodyguard.
I ain't scared. I ain't scared.
If you're scared, get a bodyguard. I don't need a bodyguard when it comes to the Packers.
We got
Anthony Barr is about to break another collarbone. I'm just joking. I know there's some Packer fans out there that are pissed at me now.
Are you?
Oh, man. We got some news that broke tonight in the National Football League, and it's not good. And, yes, it does involve Antonio Brown. Yikes. Patriots have issues. We get to that next. All All right, back with you here on Lake 9 on News Talk 830 WCCO. A quick update on the Cleveland Indians and the LA Angels. They're in the top of the seventh inning, and the Indians lead 7-0. It's not good. So it looks like the lead will remain at five games for your Minnesota Twins in the AL Central. 7-0 Indians lead, the Angels. Thanks for all the help you're giving us, LA. We appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Yep. Sucks. This has just been crazy how much one specific athlete has been in the news the last, I guess you could say month, right? We could say month, the last month. And the newest information that we have, because it seems like there's always a twist and a turn with Antonio Brown, okay? At first it was, everybody was excited because the Oakland Raiders were going to be on Hard Knocks, and you knew that Antonio Brown's a guy that's got some personality. He's a really good player. He's not shy about giving his opinion and all this stuff, whatever. That he's going to be somebody that the cameras gravitated to for Hard Knocks. And I didn't watch Hard Knocks at all. Chris, you watched a few episodes, right? You didn't watch the entire thing, but you saw a few, right?
No, I watched the whole thing.
Oh, you watched the whole thing?
Yeah.
So because of his situation between the cryotherapy and the feet, and then the helmet stuff, was he a big part of Hard Knocks or not?
No. I think HBO missed a golden opportunity. He was just kind of they really didn't focus on Antonio Brown until he showed up to camp, and he was there one day, and when he left the team, they'd go to media cutaways from ESPN or NFL Network. But for the most part, it was focusing on some more human interest stories.
Okay. Okay.
But yeah, it didn't get into the nuts and bolts of Antonio Brown.
All right. So he got upset with the team and the NFL because of the helmet stuff, right? The helmet that he always used was outdated now, and he had to change helmets. He didn't like the fact that he was changing the helmet, so he put in a grievance, lost it. Then he still wanted to cry about it and whine about it. And all these other players around the league are doing this, right? They're not crying about it, but they're switching over to new helmets. And so they're all fine with it to play in the league. And he's saying that, you know, he threatened, he said, I'm going to retire. Well, no, you're not, dude. I mean, that's just, you lied. You weren't going to retire from the jump. You said that. Everybody called you bluff. You didn't retire. So he lost the second grievance that he filed because they're like, no, you got to pick out of this allotment of helmets and move on with the rest of your life. So that occurred. Then he has a getting into it with Mike Mayock, okay, the GM of the Oakland Raiders. And he called him a phrase, a derogatory term, racially suggestive and offensive. And Mike Mayock said, what? Are you kidding me? What? And according to reports, he threatened Mike Mayock, like he was going to fight him, beat him up. So then what happens is Mike Mayock fines him, okay, for the practices that he missed, just overall for just being a dumbass, okay? And I'm assuming for the threat, because that's what I do too. So when he gets fined, essentially what happens at that point in time is that they were in a position where they could just void out all his guaranteed money, okay? They didn't say that they were going to do that, but they were in a position where they could do that. So then what do we have last week? We had the incident where he puts the picture of the letter in terms of him getting fined by Mike Mayock, and he basically, you know, clowns Mike Mayock and the organization and basically talking about, you guys, whatever, man. Y'all can't do nothing with me, and, I'm getting hated on by my own team. Just making it a spectacle, and it shouldn't have been that. It just comes off as very disrespectful and very – He doesn't exude any class, okay? And that's what everybody was saying. He doesn't care, though, because he's Antonio Brown. Well, on Friday, in the midst of all of that stuff, he comes out, he apologized to his teammates for being a distraction, apologized to the organization for everything that had went on and he had done. And it sounded like, according to John Gruden, that he was going to be available for last night's game against the Denver Broncos, their season opener. That was Friday. Then what ended up happening Friday night? He asked for his release. And he got, or Saturday he asked for, Saturday morning he asked for his release, got released that Saturday morning, and then it seemed like hours later the New England Patriots had a deal for him that everybody's criticizing right now, and rightfully so, because it seems beyond shady and fishy that New England already had a deal for him, 1 year, up to $15 million, 10 guaranteed, for him to come to New England. It sounds real, real fishy. And then the other added detail that we just found out about yesterday was that they added an option to it for a second year at $20 million. Okay? So the Patriots say, hey, you know what? It didn't work out in Oakland. We got you. We know you're one of the best players in the National Football League. We know you got a little bit of drama, but we can deal with you. So they give him an opportunity. Okay? Well, the latest is this. Just in case you guys had not heard this, and this dropped a couple of hours ago. Antonio Brown, and this is the part that Patriots fans have to hate, okay? Of the New England Patriots, because now he's a part of their franchise, right? The most prominent wide receiver in the NFL, and this is all according to the New York Times, has been accused of raping a woman who worked as his trainer, according to a federal lawsuit filed Tuesday in the Southern District of Florida. The lawsuit says that Brown, in three separate incidents, two in June of 2017 and another in May of 2018, sexually assaulted a woman named Brittany Taylor, a gymnast whom he met while they were attending Central Michigan together and whom he later hired as a trainer. The lawsuit was filed one day after Brown, 31, became a Patriot following a brief turbulent tenure with the Oakland Raiders that ended when he requested his release last week. Darren Heitner, who is a lawyer representing Antonio Brown, says Mr. Brown denies each and every allegation in the lawsuit. He will pursue all legal remedies to not only clear his name, but to also protect other professional athletes against false accusations. One thing I do want to say here, and I want to make this absolutely clear. We have no idea what took place between Antonio Brown and... Let me rephrase it, okay? We do not know that Antonio Brown did not rape this woman, okay? We do not know that if this woman has made a false accusation or valid accusation against him or not, okay? We're not the individuals that will decide that, okay? That will all come out via the courts, okay? There will be some investigations as to what happened, okay? I hate right now, though, that what we're seeing is the spin that this woman is just going after him for money. And this is all that this is about, that she's trying to extort, because that is an angle that's already being thrown out there, that he's being extorted. And I'm not saying that he's not being extorted, but I'm not going to go out here and say that this woman is lying about allegedly being raped. And I hate that for people that have been raped, that have been abused, and I get it. People will say all the time, well, you got to give people the benefit of the doubt. I get that. The benefit of the doubt means that you don't pick a side, right? You don't pick a side. The benefit of the doubt means that if you're giving somebody the benefit of the doubt, that means, okay, you're going to give Antonio Brown the benefit of the doubt and not accuse him of being guilty quite yet. But at the same time, the accuser, you got to give that person the benefit of the doubt and not accuse them of lying on said perpetrator, right? That's the way it should be viewed. But right now, you see everybody so quick to try to figure out, you know, the truth in all this. We're not going to find the truth in days. That's not possible. What we do know is the New England Patriots can't be happy about any of this. This is a stain on their organization because they have just brought in a guy think about this, Chris. Think about this for a second, right? What do we know that the New England Patriots knew when Antonio Brown was getting ready to sign there? What did they know about him?
I think they knew everything that had happened in Oakland. I have to imagine that they were not aware of any of these allegations that were going to be filed.
A day
after he signed.
Correct. So I'm not sitting here saying that the New England Patriots knew about any of this. Okay, I don't think that they knew about any of this. But what my point is that they knew that Antonio Brown, when you're dealing with him, you're dealing with what? You're dealing with drama. You're dealing with a circus. And now this is the worst type of situation that you could be dealing with. And this is not a circus. This is not entertainment. These are people's lives. Like, a rape allegation is not, like, funny. It's not a joke.
No, but I'm saying,
let's make it clear. Like, this is not just something that pops up on TMZ or whatever in the New York Times, in the newspapers, and then people are joking and wanting to make memes and all this. No, this is serious business. This is serious business.
Here's the biggest concern or question that I have for Antonio Brown. Through everything that we've seen over the last several years, it's hard to give Antonio Brown, based on his previous actions, the benefit of a doubt. Even if this is, if it turns out that this was some extortion by this woman, and again, you're absolutely right. Let's not rush to judgment. Let's everything play out. We're not going to know right away. But I think Antonio Brown right now is guilty until proven innocent, just based on all of the other actions that he's had, where we can't believe anything that he says or that his camp says, and it's hard to give him the benefit of a doubt, even in this case.
But this is rape, though. But this is rape, though. So like him being a knucklehead and the whole incident with the not paying the chef, which was ridiculous, or any of the stuff of him, like he made some comments towards some other reporter and kind of threatened the reporter. I'm not going to sit here and think that Antonio Brown's a great dude, okay? I've stood next to Antonio Brown on several occasions, and he came across as a guy that I didn't want to hang out with. Let's just put it like that, okay? He's way into himself. He feels like he's better than other people, and clearly that's because the fame and the money's gotten to his head. He's not somebody I want to be hanging out with, okay, clearly. But this is a different level, though. This is – rape is something different. So I think there's still a benefit of the doubt part that he still has to get, because that's a serious thing. You know what I'm saying? That's different than the duck and the guy on paying, you know, 80 grand or whatever the guy he owes the guy for not cooking or for cooking.
It does, but I think it also all plays into a very low moral compass that Antonio Brown has. I think it all plays into some very big character flaws that Antonio Brown has. I think that's where we can all agree on that.
Yeah, I mean, look, this adds to it, but I don't think that the fact that all of the other things that he did, they're on a different level than this. I don't think that it all leads automatically to, well, yeah, I think he's absolutely guilty of raping somebody. That's my whole point. Now we'll all, he's going to have his day in court, okay? But this is just. This is about as bad as things can get to start a year for the National Football League. Like, you got all this controversy, and you have all this stuff going on, and the Oakland Raiders. I know that the Oakland Raiders are sitting here tonight, and they're like, we're so happy that we're not in the Antonio Brown business.
They dodged a bullet.
The Pittsburgh Steelers, you know what Mike Tomlin's saying right now? He's like, I'm glad I'm not dealing with that foolishness anymore. This is just so sad. So everybody's gonna wake up in the morning and you'll see opinions and thoughts on it. I am not rushing to support either side. We're just gonna follow the story and let it play out. That's the way that I'm looking at all of this stuff. All right, coming up next, you know, sometimes with technology being so good, sometimes change is absolutely necessary. But in this next story, I'm not sure that that's the case. I'll explain next year on Late Night. All right, welcome back to Late Night here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Next segment, We're going to start something that we're going to do a couple of times a week over the course of the National Football League season. A segment called Around the NFL. Around the NFL. Where Chris is going to, you know, throw a couple of, you know, a couple questions at me. Kind of rapid fire type segment. And I will give my opinion about certain things that he's asking me about in the National Football League from each week. Okay, because there's going to be so many storylines, right? We see it all the time, especially on ESPN, you know, overreaction, not an overreaction. I mean, there's so many different things that we look at when we watch Sunday's games and Sunday night's game, Monday night football, Thursday night football. So there's plenty of stuff that we'll get to, but we'll start it up next segment around the NFL. And we need that. We need that NFL music. That's what we need. Love it. Got to have it. But let's talk about technology for a second. I came across a story from Awful Announcing, and it's pretty remarkable if you ask me, even if it's being used on a very limited basis here so far. It's definitely interesting to me. Shoe squeaking is something that is largely unique and essential to the game of basketball, right? You got the high-pitched noises that fade into the background and form part of the soundtrack to the game for some. But for some people, it drives them crazy. It's one of those things that if you're not listening for it and you're not paying attention to it, you probably don't even notice it. But if you do hear it, right, especially for a casual fan trying to watch an NBA basketball game or college basketball game, whatever, from the comfort of your home, you just can't get away from it. The screeching noise of basketball players in their sneakers, in their shoes. Well, according to Awful Announcing, what if you could watch a game without hearing all those squeaky sneakers? Apparently, this technology exists, and it's already being put into practice, at least in a few Brazilian broadcasts. Via the drum comes a fascinating report about a Brazilian basketball league broadcast that was able to remove the squeaks. Okay? Apparently, it was part of a marketing gimmick from Ford Brazil to promote the manufacturer's electronic stability control technology. The noises were turned off for a minute each period while announcers sold cars. Think about that for product placement, right? That's crazy. Ford Brazil is just trying to kill it. Every basketball fan knows that, you know, shoes squeak. That's part of the game. Well, so Ford Brazil, they took it out of the game for a minute, okay? They decided that taking away that sound will bring some attention to the automaker's EcoSport Advanced Track and its electronic stability control technology that helps to prevent skidding on the streets, okay? So they worked with these sound engineers to remove the squeaking from the shoes in the Brazilian Basketball League finals. It removes sneakers squeaking on the court during 1 minute of every period. So every time the sound was off, the game announcer talked about the car and the no sound experience. While there was this on-screen banner, it showed the car, its price, and a site where people could read more about the technology. Okay, the crossover SUV has sponsored the entire basketball season on Fox Sports and ESPN and ended the partnership with that unique brand experience. So this is my question, though. Because I know that a lot of people, we love the technology and trying out different things, whatever. I looked at the highlights for this particular technology. And the way that they rolled it out on the website is, they have the game going, and it's got the squeaks and all that stuff, whatever. And then when they get to the point where they try it without the squeaks, it's just weird to me. It is really weird to me. And at least in my opinion, give me the sneakers, man. Give me the sound of those guys squeaking all across the floor. It just, to me, the basketball game, when I sat there and I watched it for the minute or so of each quarter and there was no squeaking, it seemed fake. It didn't seem like the audio didn't seem authentic and real. So give me all of the background noise when it comes to basketball. I'm not sure, Chris, if you actually watched the video and you heard or paid attention to the squeaks and then without the squeaks, but it just... All right, back with you here on Lake Nine on News Talk 830 WCCO. A quick update on the Cleveland Indians and the LA Angels. They're in the top of the seventh inning, and the Indians lead 7-0. It's not good. So it looks like the lead will remain at 5 games for your Minnesota Twins in the AL Central. 7-0 Indians lead, the Angels. Thanks for all the help you're giving us, LA. We appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Yep. Sucks. This has just been crazy how much one specific athlete has been in the news the last, I guess you could say month, right? We could say month, the last month. And the newest information that we have, because it seems like there's always a twist and a turn with Antonio Brown, okay? At first it was, everybody was excited because the Oakland Raiders were going to be on Hard Knocks, and you knew that Antonio Brown's a guy that's got some personality. He's a really good player. He's not shy about giving his opinion and all this stuff, whatever. That he's going to be somebody that the cameras gravitated to for Hard Knocks. And I didn't watch Hard Knocks at all. Chris, you watched a few episodes, right? You didn't watch the entire thing, but you saw a few, right?
No, I watched the whole thing.
Oh, you watched the whole thing?
Yeah.
So because of his situation between the cryotherapy and the feet and then the helmet stuff, was he a big part of Hard Knocks or not?
No. I think HBO missed a golden opportunity. He was just kind of they really didn't focus on Antonio Brown until he showed up to camp. And he was there one day, and when he left the team, they'd go to media cutaways from ESPN or NFL Network. But for the most part, it was focusing on some more human interest stories.
Okay. Okay.
But yeah, it didn't get into the nuts and bolts of Antonio Brown.
All right. So he got upset with the team and the NFL because of the helmet stuff, right? The helmet that he always used was outdated now, and he had to change helmets. He didn't like the fact that he was changing helmets, so he put in a grievance, lost it. Then he still wanted to cry about it and whine about it. And all these other players around the league are doing this, right? They're not crying about it, but they're switching over to new helmets. And so they're all fine with it to play in the league. And he's saying that, you know, he said, I'm going to retire. Well, no, you're not, dude. I mean, that's just, you lied. You weren't going to retire from the jump. You said that. Everybody called you bluff. You didn't retire. So he lost the second grievance that he filed because they're like, no, you got to pick out of this allotment of helmets and move on with the rest of your life. So that occurred. Then he has a getting into it with Mike Mayock, okay, the GM of the Oakland Raiders. And he called him a phrase, a derogatory term, racially suggestive and offensive. And Mike Mayock said, what? Are you kidding me? What? And and according to reports, he threatened Mike Mayock, like he was going to fight him, beat him up. So then what happens is Mike Mayock fines him, okay, for the practices that he missed, just overall for just being a dumbass, okay? And I'm assuming for the threat, because that's what I do too. So when he gets fined, essentially what happens at that point in time is that they were in a position where they could just void out all his guaranteed money, okay? They didn't say they were going to do that, but they were in a position where they could do that. So then what do we have last week? We had the incident where he puts the picture of the letter in terms of him getting fined by Mike Mayock, and he basically, you know, clowns Mike Mayock and the organization and basically talking about, you guys, whatever, man. Y'all can't do nothing with me, and, I'm getting hated on by my own team. Just making it a spectacle, and it shouldn't have been that. It just comes off as very disrespectful and very – He doesn't exude any class, okay? And that's what everybody was saying. He doesn't care, though, because he's Antonio Brown. Well, on Friday, in the midst of all of that stuff, he comes out, he apologized to his teammates for being a distraction, apologized to the organization for everything that had went on and he had done. And it sounded like, according to John Gruden, that he was going to be available for last night's game against the Denver Broncos, their season opener. That was Friday. Then what ended up happening Friday night? He asked for his release. And he got, or Saturday he asked for, Saturday morning he asked for his release, got released that Saturday morning, and then it seemed like hours later the New England Patriots had a deal for him that everybody's criticizing right now, and rightfully so, because it seems beyond shady and fishy that New England already had a deal for him, 1 year, up to $15 million, 10 guaranteed, for him to come to New England. It sounds real fishy. And then the other added detail that we just found out about yesterday was that they added an option to it for a second year at $20 million. Okay? So the Patriots say, hey, you know what? It didn't work out in Oakland. We got you. We know you're one of the best players in the National Football League. We know you got a little bit of drama, but we can deal with you. So they give him an opportunity. Okay? Well, the latest is this. Just in case you guys had not heard this, and this dropped a couple of hours ago. Antonio Brown, and this is the part that Patriots fans have to hate, okay? Of the New England Patriots, because now he's a part of their franchise, right? The most prominent wide receiver in the NFL, and this is all according to the New York Times, has been accused of raping a woman who worked as his trainer, according to a federal lawsuit filed Tuesday in the Southern District of Florida. The lawsuit says that Brown, in three separate incidents, two in June of 2017 and another in May of 2018, sexually assaulted a woman named Brittany Taylor, a gymnast whom he met while they were attending Central Michigan together and whom he later hired as a trainer. The lawsuit was filed 1 day after Brown, 31, became a Patriot following a brief turbulent tenure with the Oakland Raiders that ended when he requested his release last week. Darren Heitner, who is a lawyer representing Antonio Brown, says Mr. Brown denies each and every allegation in the lawsuit. He will pursue all legal remedies to not only clear his name, but to also protect other professional athletes against false accusations. One thing I do want to say here, and I want to make this absolutely clear. We have no idea what took place between Antonio Brown and, let me rephrase it, okay? We do not know that Antonio Brown did not rape this woman, okay? We do not know that if this woman has made a false accusation or valid accusation against him or not, okay? We're not the individuals that will decide that, okay? That will all come out via the courts, okay? There will be some investigations as to what happened, okay? I hate right now, though, that what we're seeing is the spin that this woman is just going after him for money. And this is all that this is about, that she's trying to extort, because that is an angle that's already being thrown out there, that he's being extorted. And I'm not saying that he's not being extorted, but I'm not going to go out here and say that this woman is lying about allegedly being raped. And I hate that for people that have been raped, that have been abused, that, and I get it, people will say all the time, well, you got to give people the benefit of the doubt. I get that. The benefit of the doubt means that you don't pick a side, right? You don't pick a side. The benefit of the doubt means that if you're giving somebody the benefit of the doubt, that means, okay, you're going to give Antonio Brown the benefit of the doubt and not accuse him of being guilty quite yet. But at the same time, the accuser, you got to give that person the benefit of the doubt and not accuse them of lying on said perpetrator, right? That's the way it should be viewed. But right now, you see everybody so quick to try to figure out, you know, the truth in all this. We're not going to find the truth in days. That's not possible. What we do know is the New England Patriots can't be happy about any of this. This is a stain on their organization because they have just brought in a guy Think about this, Chris. Think about this for a second, right? What do we know that the New England Patriots knew when Antonio Brown was getting ready to sign there? What did they know about him?
I think they knew everything that had happened in Oakland. I have to imagine that they were not aware of any of these allegations that were going to be filed.
A day
after he signed.
Correct. So I'm not sitting here saying that the New England Patriots knew about any of this. Okay, I don't think that they knew about any of this. But what my point is that they knew that Antonio Brown, when you're dealing with him, you're dealing with what? You're dealing with drama. You're dealing with a circus. And now this is the worst type of situation that you could be dealing with. And this is not a circus. This is not entertainment. These are people's lives. Like, a rape allegation is not, like, funny. It's not a joke.
No, it's not.
But I'm saying, let's make it clear. Like, this is not just something that pops up on TMZ or whatever in the New York Times, in the newspapers, and then people are joking and wanting to make memes and all this. No, this is serious business. This is serious business.
Here's the biggest concern or question that I have for Antonio Brown. Through everything that we've seen over the last several years, it's hard to give Antonio Brown, based on his previous actions, the benefit of a doubt. Even if this is, if it turns out that this was some extortion by this woman, and again, you're absolutely right. Let's not rush to judgment. Let's everything play out. We're not going to know right away. But I think Antonio Brown right now is guilty until proven innocent, just based on all of the other actions that he's had, where we can't believe anything that he says or that his camp says, and it's hard to give him the benefit of a doubt, even in this case.
But this is rape, though. But this is rape, though. So like him being a knucklehead and the whole incident with the not paying the chef, which was ridiculous, or any of the stuff of him, like he made some comments towards some other reporter and kind of threatened the reporter. I'm not going to sit here and think that Antonio Brown's a great dude, okay? I've stood next to Antonio Brown on several occasions, and he came across as a guy that I didn't want to hang out with. Let's just put it like that, okay? He's way into himself. He feels like he's better than other people, and clearly that's because the fame and the money's gotten to his head. He's not somebody I want to be hanging out with, okay, clearly. But this is a different level, though. This is – rape is something different. So I'm not going to – I think there's still a benefit of the doubt part that he still has to get, because that's a serious thing. You know what I'm saying? That's different than the duck and the guy on paying, you know, 80 grand or whatever the guy he owes the guy for not cooking or for cooking.
It does, but I think it also all plays into a very low moral compass that Antonio Brown has. I think it all plays into some very big character flaws that Antonio Brown has. I think that's where we can all agree on that.
Yeah, I mean, look, this adds to it, but I don't think that the fact that all of the other things that he did, they're on a different level than this. I don't think that it all leads automatically to, well, yeah, I think he's absolutely guilty of raping somebody. That's my whole point. Now we'll all, he's going to have his day in court, okay? But this is just. This is about as bad as things can get to start a year for the National Football League. Like, you got all this controversy, and you have all this stuff going on, and the Oakland Raiders. I know that the Oakland Raiders are sitting here tonight, and they're like, we're so happy that we're not in the Antonio Brown business.
They dodged a bullet.
The Pittsburgh Steelers, you know what Mike Tomlin's saying right now? He's like, I'm glad I'm not dealing with that foolishness anymore. This is just so sad. So everybody's gonna wake up in the morning and you'll see opinions and thoughts on it. I am not rushing to support either side. We're just gonna follow the story and let it play out. That's the way that I'm looking at all of this stuff. All right, coming up next, you know, sometimes with technology being so good, sometimes change is absolutely necessary. But in this next story, I'm not sure that that's the case. I'll explain next year on Late Night. All right, welcome back to Late Night here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Next segment, We're going to start something that we're going to do a couple of times a week over the course of the National Football League season. A segment called Around the NFL. Around the NFL. Where Chris is going to, you know, throw a couple of, you know, a couple questions at me. Kind of rapid fire type segment. And I will give my opinion about certain things that he's asking me about in the National Football League from each week. Okay, because there's going to be so many storylines, right? We see it all the time, especially on ESPN, you know, overreaction, not an overreaction. I mean, there's so many different things that we look at when we watch Sunday's games and Sunday night's game, Monday night football, Thursday night football. So there's plenty of stuff that we'll get to, but we'll start it up next segment around the NFL. And we need that. We need that NFL music. That's what we need. Love it. Got to have it. But let's talk about technology for a second. I came across a story from Awful Announcing, and it's pretty remarkable if you ask me, even if it's being used on a very limited basis here so far. It's definitely interesting to me. Shoe squeaking is something that is largely unique and essential to the game of basketball, right? You got the high-pitched noises that fade into the background and form part of the soundtrack to the game for some. But for some people, it drives them crazy. It's one of those things that if you're not listening for it and you're not paying attention to it, you probably don't even notice it. But if you do hear it, right, especially for a casual fan trying to watch an NBA basketball game or college basketball game, whatever, from the comfort of your home, you just can't get away from it. The screeching noise of basketball players in their sneakers, in their shoes. Well, according to Awful Announcing, what if you could watch a game without hearing all those squeaky sneakers? Apparently, this technology exists, and it's already being put into practice, at least in a few Brazilian broadcasts. Via the drum comes a fascinating report about a Brazilian basketball league broadcast that was able to remove the squeaks. Okay? Apparently, it was part of a marketing gimmick from Ford Brazil to promote the manufacturer's electronic stability control technology. The noises were turned off for a minute each period while announcers sold cars. Think about that for product placement, right? That's crazy. Ford Brazil is just trying to kill it. Every basketball fan knows that, you know, shoes squeak. That's part of the game. Well, so Ford Brazil, they took it out of the game for a minute, okay? They decided that taking away that sound will bring some attention to the automaker's EcoSport Advanced Track and its electronic stability control technology that helps to prevent skidding on the streets, okay? So they worked with these sound engineers to remove the squeaking from the shoes in the Brazilian Basketball League finals. It removes sneakers squeaking on the court during 1 minute of every period. So every time the sound was off, the game announcer talked about the car and the no sound experience. While there was this on-screen banner, it showed the car, its price, and a site where people could read more about the technology. Okay, the crossover SUV has sponsored the entire basketball season on Fox Sports and ESPN and ended the partnership with that unique brand experience. So this is my question, though. Because I know that a lot of people, we love the technology and trying out different things, whatever. I looked at the highlights for this particular technology. And the way that they rolled it out on the website is they have the game going, and it's got the squeaks and all that stuff, whatever. And then when they get to the point where they try it without the squeaks, it's just weird to me. It is really weird to me. And at least in my opinion, give me the sneakers, man. Give me the sound of those guys squeaking all across the floor. It just, to me, the basketball game, when I sat there and I watched it for the minute or so of each quarter and there was no squeaking, it seemed fake. It didn't seem like the audio didn't seem authentic and real. So give me all of the background noise when it comes to basketball. I'm not sure, Chris, if you actually watched the video and you heard or paid attention to the squeaks, and then without the squeaks, but it just be different and just kind of fake when they had the 1 minute of no squeaking on the basketball court.
I have not seen it or heard the audio.
Just weird.
Yeah, to me, sports, basketball without squeaking is like football without the pads, or hockey without hearing the ice, or you've got baseball without hearing the crack of the bat or the pop of the mitt. There's something about Nat sound, as we call it, Henry.
Yes.
That just is part of it. And if you've got one of these live reads or one of these advertisements and you do it, it does. You mentioned authentic and real, and I think that's a pretty good way to put it, because otherwise it feels canned. It feels like it's out of place, like they took something and just put it there. So I saw it, and I just have to shake my head. Sometimes you can have too much of a good thing. I say cut back. There's a reason you're in sports, and there's a reason that some of these advertisements and sports, rather, go hand in hand. And I mean, it's just like somebody doing a broadcast. I mean,
I'm not mad at them for the idea.
No,
it's
no,
just,
no.
It's weird to me.
It doesn't fit. I mean, something like this does not fit in sports. Maybe it'll fit in some other genre, but in sports, it seems like it just doesn't fit.
I feel you, man. I feel you. All right, coming up next, we'll start the segment around the NFL, and today's top story comes your way in 60 seconds on News Talk 830 WCCO. All right, welcome back to Lake Night here on News Talk 830 WCCO. I'm hanging out at Target Field for another 90 minutes. Will it be raining by the time that I get off the air? Because I'm still at Target Field. And I know that I'm downtown Minneapolis. It's not raining here yet. The tarp's on the field. But it looks like it's getting a little windy out. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully they'll be able to get the game in tomorrow here at Target Field.
I mean, they're going to have to get – I mean, they can't
– Or do you try to do a doubleheader on Thursday?
Boy, I don't know.
The weather's supposed to be not so great on Thursday too.
And with
that's tricky.
Yeah, and with the situation that both these teams are in, I mean, Washington's fighting for a wild card. The Twins are fighting for the division. I got to imagine that they're definitely, if the weather's not going to look great on Thursday, I mean, you're going to have to wait this one out tomorrow, aren't you? If you're the Twins, I mean, the Nationals, both teams want to play these games. Both teams need to play these games.
Oh no, I think we're totally in a situation where we're waiting it out for a while tomorrow. This is not going to be a situation where the game is going to be called early or anything like that. You know what I mean? No, you're going to see if you can get this game in and see whether, you know. Look, because I haven't taken a look at the entire the map or whatever, but just talking to people here in the press box and just talking to Paul Douglas at the end of his show with Jordana Green, it sounds like there's going to be some tricky weather tomorrow and even on Thursday as well. But, you know, you got to get them in at some point.
Yeah, I mean, if that means we got to wait around, let's wait around and get it in, because I don't want any of these games lingering once we get past the Cleveland series. I want to be able to just enjoy our series with, you know, the White Sox and the Tigers and the Royals. I don't want to be looking at the Nationals as a makeup game later on in the season.
Hey, what is the latest that you stayed up to watch a baseball game that's been delayed by weather in the last 5 years?
Oh, boy. I'd say probably – now, are we talking before the game actually started, or are we talking like when the game –
No, I'm talking about when the game actually ended.
Oh, okay. I'd say – oh man, maybe 3:30-ish
in the morning.
Yeah,
yeah. I think that 3:30 in the morning was like the latest that I was up watching a Royals game versus the St. Louis Cardinals, and you know how that rivalry is between those two teams.
The I-70 series.
Yes, the I-70 series.
Yep, I know it well.
They had to get it in, and yep, everybody was up late night to try to see if they can get that one in.
They
finally did.
Yeah, I don't think people realize, and I mean, why would they up here, Henry, how big of a series that is between the Royals and the Cardinals? Because, I mean, it's only, I mean, you look at it, what is it, like maybe a 2.5-hour drive between the two of them? I mean, it's not a long drive, but it's just like.
No, it's 4 hours.
Okay, because I was in Columbia, and I know Columbia like split the difference between.
Columbia's 2 hours from Kansas City.
Oh, okay. Maybe it's 2 hours for most people. I should probably pay attention.
Columbia's right in the middle. Columbia's 2 hours from St. Louis, and Columbia's 2 hours from Kansas City. It's like right the middle waypoint.
Right. Okay, because my drives never took 2 hours, so I should probably have slowed down a little bit on I-70.
Oh, man. All right, let's get into it. Let's get into around the NFL.
All right, Henry. Well, week one is in the books, and we got a lot of questions, so I'm going to throw these at you right now. First of all, our beloved soon-to-be Super Bowl 54 Minnesota Vikings, is it a big deal that Kirk Cousins went 8 for 10, 98 yards, and a touchdown?
Yes, it's a big deal. It's a big deal because it showed us that we don't have to have every single week Kirk Cousins out there throwing the football 30 and 40 times to win a football game. Like, that's a big deal. It really is. The fact that you got a healthy Dalvin Cook just running roughshod over the Atlanta Falcons defense, to have Alexander Mattison be able to have, he averaged per carry 0.1 more than Dalvin Cook did. Dalvin Cook last week, his yards per carry was 5.3. Alexander Mattison, 5.4. The running game was effective. And yes, the passing game was effective. But also, even in the passing game being effective, Kirk Cousins got crushed 3 times. So we got to shore up that offensive line pass blocking. That was still an issue to me. But yes, that's a big deal, man. 8 for 10, 98 yards, and a touchdown. But the running game. Because what the running game helps with, it helps the defense stay off of the back of one Kirk Cousins.
Well, that's what we heard in the offseason, that, oh, the Vikings, they're not going to be able to run the ball. It's not that they can't. It's just that they didn't last year. And I love seeing the Dalvin Cook, 21 carries, 111 yards, and a couple of touchdowns.
But Dalvin wasn't available, though, so that was the difference, too.
No, oh, absolutely. But, I mean, yeah, throwing the ball 45 to 50 times a game is not going to win you very many games in the NFL. Antonio Brown orchestrated his way out of Oakland. He landed in New England. Genius. Or bogus?
It's bogus. It's bogus. Because what Antonio Brown, like, he may think that he's a genius for doing what he did, but dude was a snake. He was a snake towards the Oakland Raiders fans. And that's not cool, man. I know that the NFL, and we talk about the game of football, we say it's a game, and it's, you know, it's a game that grown men get paid to play. I know it's a business too, okay? It's clearly a business. But who gets screwed in the business of the game? Fans. And Antonio Brown should know better. Like, Antonio Brown, if that was somewhere you really never wanted to go, then why didn't you tell the Pittsburgh Steelers that from the jump? Like, because Pittsburgh, if you were going to be disgruntled and bitter and all of that, then have Pittsburgh send you somewhere that you really – like a short list of teams that you would like to play for as opposed to doing what you did in the way that it worked out right now. I hate it, man. Antonio Brown right now, I think that he enjoys right now being the biggest villain in the National Football League. But who wants to be that?
I think the Pittsburgh Steelers – I mean, they were going to send him to Buffalo, and he didn't want to go to Buffalo. Oakland was one of those teams that somehow he okayed it going to Oakland. Oakland didn't deserve this. I feel like John Gruden, Mike Mayock, that organization did nothing to deserve the way that
he screwed them. And those fans.
Yeah.
And you know, and I'm not a Raiders fan, but I'm glad they won last night. Because number one, I don't like Denver at all. But Oakland, I'm so glad they won game one. And so that their fans feel like there's some hope and they have a lot of pride in what they're going to do there in Oakland this season. But I like that.
All right, so now that the Patriots have Antonio Brown, who is beating New England, like, who? Ever?
That's a good question. Who's beating the New England Patriots? Right now, the only team that most people would look at and say that I feel like they could beat the New England Patriots will be the Kansas City Chiefs. And I think Kansas City is going to have a great shot at doing that this year. I mean, Kansas City's got some dogs. And I ain't talking about just on offense. They got the Honey Badger now in their secondary. They got Frank Clark from Seattle. Chris Jones, who I think is one of the best defensive linemen in the entire league. That kid's so good. And they didn't even extend his contract. They didn't even give him a contract extension yet. They gave Tyreek Hill, what, $54 million? And Chris Jones is like one of the best personalities in the entire league. A good kid?
Man.
I think it could be Kansas City.
So on Sunday night, Antonio Brown's current team defeated the team that he last was actually on the field for, and not only beat them, just absolutely destroyed the Pittsburgh Steelers in Foxborough. Are you worried about Pittsburgh after they got blown out on Sunday Night Football?
I am not. I know that people will have the knee-jerk reaction, because we all do that, right? We all are Monday morning quarterbacks. But Mike Tomlin's too good of a coach. Roethlisberger's too good of a quarterback. They'll get it fleshed out. They'll iron out all the kinks. They will get it right. They will correct the issues that they have. Is this New England's just on another level than Pittsburgh right now? But Pittsburgh against all the other teams in the AFC, they stack up. So I'm not concerned about the Steelers right now.
Yeah, they still got some pretty good skill players. Lamar Jackson dominated the Dolphins, 17 for 20, 324 passing yards, 5 touchdowns in 3 quarters, Henry. Does that say more about what we see the Dolphins doing? Or is this something that the Ravens should be super optimistic and feeling really good about their second-year quarterback?
I think it says right down the middle, it says equally both. Like the Dolphins, we talked about this last night. I think they're trying to tank now. Like, I didn't believe in tanking in football. And that was just pathetic, what they did. But now, do I think that the Ravens are a better football team than most people have thought that they would be? Yeah, I think the Ravens are probably going to be a better football team than people thought going into the season. But you know who should really be feeling like a dummy right now? It's Bill Polian. Bill Polian, who a couple of years ago said that Lamar Jackson, what did he say? He should convert to being a running back or a wide receiver.
And
he's not a quarterback. Bill, come on, man. You're looking real shaky out here in the light with that take.
I hate when you've got somebody like Lamar Jackson, a Heisman Trophy winner, and you're like, well, we know that he can't play. Well, how do you know that he can't play in the NFL? I mean, how do you know he can't get better? I mean, he's Antoine Randall L. Is that who you want to make him out to be?
I never got the Bill Polian take on that. Like, what did he do at Louisville to tell you? Now, if Bill Polian had said he's not going to be a good quarterback, that's one thing. But he can't play the quarterback position at all? That's just a bad take, man.
Yeah, I love Lamar Jackson coming out of college, and I never bought into it. I thought he should have developed as a quarterback, and I'm glad that he's getting a shot. The Browns got blown out by Tennessee 43-13, which led Delanie Walker to do his best Denny Green. You know, if you want to crown him, crown him. But did we overhype the Cleveland Browns in saying that they are going to be the AFC champions?
Yeah, across the board nationally, yes, they were overhyped. I was not somebody that bought into the hype. And the reason why I didn't buy into the hype was because, and I stated this a month ago, Baker Mayfield hasn't won anything in terms of the National Football League, right? Like, we saw what Cleveland was last year. They were a team that at the end of the season were playing their best football. But now that you have real expectations, and I know you've added Odell Beckham Jr. to go with Jarvis Landry and Nick Chubb, but you have done nothing yet. And that's just, not only did they lose, they got crushed in week 1. Tennessee is not good, in my opinion. Tennessee is not good. Marcus Mariota gets hurt all the time, okay? I know it's football, it's a violent sport, and quarterbacks get hit. But my point with bringing him up is that they don't have any certainty with their quarterbacks. So when you have a Tennessee team that beats you the way that they beat down Cleveland, that's embarrassing. That's a bad look for Cleveland to kick off the year.
And Cleveland actually scored on their very first possession, and then the game completely flipped.
Imagine that.
Yeah. Was it a mistake that Jay Gruden deactivated Adrian Peterson for the Redskins season opener?
Yeah, because now he looks like a dummy. And he lost part of his team already. There were some of the linemen came out later, and they didn't put their names to it, but according to sources, some of the linemen were really, really upset, and they said it was a slap in the face to Adrian Peterson that he wasn't even active on Sunday. And how did it help Washington on Sunday to not have him active? And then Darius Geis coming off a torn ACL last year, he got dinged up again and he's going to miss some time. So now you got to go back to Adrian Peterson. Gruden needs to be fired after this year's over. Washington's going nowhere with him. Washington's not going anywhere with him, and they're definitely not going anywhere with Daniel Snyder. Terrible owner.
Another game late in the afternoon on Sunday. The Cowboys rolled the Giants. Are the Cowboys now the team to beat in the NFC East?
I would say that the Cowboys are the team to beat in the NFC East, yes. Dak Prescott, I wish I had started him on my fantasy football team. How good did he look? He's playing for the big money contract. I think that Jerry Jones, you need to get that young man a contract really quickly. But Dak looked good. Ezekiel Elliott, he's going to work, you know, some of the rust off. But they've got good. Whitehouse and Cooper and what's the other kid's name? Michael Gallup or whatever?
Michael Gallup, yep.
Oh, man, he looks really good. So, yeah, and their defense, they've got some studs defensively. Jalen Smith and some others. I think that the Cowboys are probably the team to beat in the NFC East, although there's not a lot or massive bit of separation between them and Philadelphia. But then after that, it's everybody else.
All right, Henry, final one. How should we view the first game of the air raid offense in Arizona after they had to rally to tie the Lions at 27?
Meh. This is okay. Like, that first half, Kyler Murray looked not good. Second half, he looked a whole lot better. And they got into it, and they made the comeback to get the tie. But I can't grade them. I can't give them a high grade because you know what they did? They tied Detroit. It's still the Lions. So you got to calm down. You got to put that in perspective. It's the Lions. Let's not get overhyped about tying the Lions. They were at home, and they tied the Lions. Nice comeback, but not a win. Not a win, just a tie. All right, that's going to wrap up around the NFL. See, I like that, man. I love the music. I get all excited. I get hyped with all of that. Coming up next on the show, we got today's top headlines with Chris Tubbs. We'll do that next year on Late Night. All right, back with you here on Late Night. It's time for today's top headlines with Chris Tubbs. I know we're short this segment, so we got a couple of items that we'll get to before the top of the hour break.
All right, Henry, let's go ahead and dive in. Christmas and the holiday season is right around the corner, and Target is increasing the number of seasonal hirings. The local retailer is also on track to raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour in 2020, but they're getting ready to hire a boatload of seasonal workers for the holidays. According to the Minneapolis St. Paul Business Journal, Target announced that more than 130,000 jobs are going to be created. That's an increase of 10,000 from a year ago. Of those seasonal workers, 8,000 are going to work at the distribution and fulfillment centers. The pay at $13 an hour is nearly twice the federal minimum wage. And Target says that they are on track for a minimum wage of $15 an hour by the end of June 2020.
I love this. I absolutely love it. Props to Target for taking care of people and increasing the pay over the holidays. This is awesome, dude. I love everything about this, man. You know, I'm all for big companies continuing to pay their workers a good wage. And the thing that I loved most about this says of the 2018 seasonal hires, Target says that more than 40% still worked for the company after the holidays were over. So that's awesome.
Yeah, no question. It's nice to see the Target stepping up. All right, before her sentencing, Felicity Huffman says that she feels utter shame for her role in the college cheating scandal. She said she was just trying to be a good parent. Now, days before her sentencing for a federal crime, the actress said she regrets paying $15,000 to rig her daughter's SAT scores. She's one of a dozen defendants charged as a result of an investigation dubbed Operation Varsity Blues into a massive college admissions cheating scandal.
Yeah, you know what? And I hope that she's shown remorse for it. She understands what she did was absolutely 100% wrong, and she's taken ownership for it. I think that she should receive probation and a fine. I am all for that. I'm dead serious. I know that she's probably lived a very, you know, entitled life and very privileged, and she utilized her celebrity to you know, help out her daughters. But I'm sorry. At least she held herself accountable and accepted the everything that's happened. The other actress that they had in this still hasn't done that.
Lori Loughlin.
She hasn't done that, so that's insane. All right, coming up next, we'll get back to Twins baseball. Twins win tonight. Oh, boy. It was an awesome night at Target Field. We'll discuss it next year on Late Night.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.